is a nice spiritual problem. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Let me have it back there, John. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Came vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was dark. It's a big deal because this is a list of sins that come from a heart that is not right with God. Let me help you, every parent and grandparent in this room. Expect, encourage, demand thankfulness. Tune their heart to be thankful. Let me help you. If you're here and you're under 20, 25, and you walk around with a scowl on your face and you grunt when somebody asks you to do something, or you give a bad face, or you mouth off, or you text something smart to somebody else, and you are unthankful, God has listed you among the worst sinners in the Bible. And it is awful. It's too much trouble to deal with them. Look at what company they're going to be keeping in days to come. Why is it a big deal? Let me help you. Do you rather work with somebody at the office who's thankful or unthankful? Would you rather go to the plant with somebody who's full of gratitude or doesn't have any gratitude? Would you rather your kids, how many of you have kids and they go to school somewhere and they get around somebody who's grumbly and mumbly and mouthy and complaining, they come home, you're going, we're going to fix this tonight because I'm not raising you to do this. Anybody had that kind of talk or conversation yet with somebody? We can't do this. So how can I do this? I want to focus you on a couple of things here. Look at the text here. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you three words here that I think will help you. Three words. Number one, there's a communication word. There's a communication word. Giving thanks. I am communicating something. One writer said it like this. Said, gratitude is a cheerful expression of thankfulness and praise to God and others. It's a cheerful expression of thankfulness to God and others. I love that. I love all the components of that word. You ever made little kids say thank you? Yeah. It's worse with adults, isn't it? Thank you. I love watching a press conference where somebody's got to thank someone they don't like. And here's our good friend, you know, and they just about broke a molar. Here's our good friend, you know, and they introduce him. And I just want to put that on loop, you know, because, you know, the blood pressure's going up. They're going to lose a vein there. And all that, a cheerful expression of thankfulness and praise to God and others. You go through the Psalms, you see this over and over and over again. I lift up my heart, and all of that's involved there. Now, let me help you. There are days when I'm thankful, and I don't feel very cheerful. Nod your head if you're with me. There are days I'm just glad it's 12:01, it's tomorrow. I just survived the day. I'm not talking about seasons of. I'm not talking about mourning either. I'm not talking about shock or mourning. I'm not talking about, man, you total your car. The guy comes in and says you cancer. Man, I'm just so thankful. Zippity-doo-dah. I'm scared of you. Amen. All these plastic people. Like, no. I'm talking about as you have the opportunity to be grateful, this is what it is. And it's directed two ways. I'm directed this way and this way. I realize that from God come all good things. From God come all blessings. From God, He is the one who holds me in His hand. He is the one who's got the world spinning around. He is the one who keeps the balance of oxygen and keeps the earth just far enough from the sun where it doesn't burn up, and just far enough away it doesn't burn up, and just close enough that we don't all freeze. It is God who all things consist and subsist by His hand. It is a fool who walks through and says he is a self-made person. There's gratitude toward God and toward others. As a society, we're just not very thankful. I joke, I appreciate, I don't think I've ever been in the same building with Coach Jones, but I don't understand. Guy can't win. I got that. But a guy's a bad man because he can't win. He needs to be shot and tarred and feathered, and his family is evil. And I thought, gracious. I hope none of those people come to our church. And you know, I got A, I don't get B. You owe me. No, you don't. Nobody owes you anything. We have received grace and mercy. There's a communication idea that's here. I really want to park here. Let me help you. If you write this down, our speech is always the tattletale of our hearts. Our speech is always the tattletale of our hearts. Well, you sure are ugly. Just kidding. Well, I don't really think you're kidding. Amen. You know, I didn't mean to say that. No. The problem is you meant exactly to say that. You meant exactly to say that. Anybody you ever get upset or mad and you give like the best speech you never wrote? Anybody? Anybody just, and you're like, and then you start, you know, I didn't mean that. And you're like, it came from somewhere. It's my old joke about temper. Somebody says I have a bad temper. I go, it seems like your temper's working just fine. You know, I lost my temper. I'd sure hate for you to find it, right? Sure hate for you to find it. Our speech is always a tattletale of our heart. When we are grateful, we're saying what? That we have a grateful heart. When we are ungrateful, we're ungrateful rather, we are saying we have an ungrateful heart. Me, my, mine, want, give me, demand. Our speech betrays us, and that works in our thumbs too. Works in our thumbs. I was preaching down in Florida. Some years ago. I was there, and a mom was trying to talk to me. She'd respond to the service. She was talking to me, and she had our beautiful teenage daughter, and her little snarky friend standing there, and they were just right behind their mom, and they had brand new kind of phones, and they were, I could tell they were texting each other. So how could you tell? Because they do this and look at the girl, you know, and they're back and forth, and they're looking, they're throwing their eyes at their mom and all. And I'm tuning out mom, and I'm looking at these two girls, and I finally was like, why don't you hand that phone to your mother? And a beautiful girl from Cuba, and she turned pale, which was a neat trick. And I said, why don't you give it to your mom? And her mom rattled off a bunch of stuff in Spanish, and I caught basically something about muerte, death, because she'd embarrassed her in front of the speaker. And her mom snatched the phone. I'm thinking, it's on now. It's on now. And she hit it off, and I think, oh, man, I was going to get to watch a fight. And I looked at her, I said, you know, it's really rude to talk bad about your mom right there. She said, how do you know I'm talking about my mom? I said, well, show her the phone. She turned pale again. And I said, you shouldn't do this. Young girl got her heart, got a happy ending, ended up going to Christian college, all those things, and serving well, married to a preacher and all. But that day, I think you can be just as snarky as you can be. And I got news for you. You're paying for your young person to talk ugly about you, and you're paying $30, $40, $50 a month for them to do that. That's the very definition of insanity. You owe it at least to your parents to respect them enough to be kind behind their back and to their face and to be thankful. Can I get an amen from anybody in the room? Our speech is always, always headed for it. There's this communication idea. There's a command. By the way, we have trouble communicating. We have trouble communicating. I joke about it. We work real hard at it here. Do you have trouble with your constituents getting out to word and all? Good news. Bad news spreads like wildfire, doesn't it? You don't have to do anything with that. People do that for free. We do the robocall here. We got a little thing, you know. And some of you like it. Some of you don't like it. That's fine. I tried to do it, you know, everybody's like, I don't like doing this thing. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I sat down one Saturday afternoon and I just dialed all the numbers. It took me like 90 minutes, 95 minutes to call everybody. And guess what? I got 80% of your voicemails. And so if I can use a robocall and get 80% of your voicemails, I figure it takes me 3 minutes and all. But we do the robocall. We want to get you to know. We send out text messages. We got stuff on social media. We send out emails. We occasionally mail things and all. And in light of all that, I still have people coming up to me going, I didn't know that was going on. And I want to scream and blame my wife. We didn't know what was going on. My favorite was the other day. You know, I said something once and then twice, and I announced it again, then I announced it at the end of the service, and then right before I left. So I said it five times, and somebody walks out going, now, preacher, you didn't say when this was going to happen. And I thought it was funny, and Glenda was walking right behind me. And Glenda looks at him and says, are you deaf? He said it five times. Now, Glenda shouldn't have done it like that because she, you know. But, you know, anybody ever feel that frustration? Anybody, you tell your children something? Anybody married in here and you don't think your spouse ever listens? Listen. And we're here. There's communication problem. There's a communication. There's a command. I think there's a real command. It says giving thanks. So what do you mean? Up in go all the way back. Go all the way back to verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by wine or alcohol, wherein is excess or dissipation or lawlessness, really, or rampage or lawlessness idea there. But be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, this is the constant state of your life, is that you're controlled by the Spirit of God. That word filled is interesting. We don't have the time, But if you look, when the disciples were about to be capsized, they were on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes in the third watch of the night, and he comes out there and says they were all filled, they were controlled with fear. The words you use also when they talked about they were filled with joy. And it is that one sense, that word controlled. I'm completely controlled this way. He says, be controlled by the Spirit of God. So what do you mean here? What do you mean? I think it is in one sense, it has to do with two components. It has to do with the Word of God, and it has to do with the presence of Christ. Say, what do you mean? What do you mean? Look at Peter. When Peter was with Christ, he was miraculously bold. He's there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there. The soldiers come up. Peter takes out his sword. He swipes. I think he's aiming to kill the guy. The guy moves. Peter's a bad shot, whatever it is. He cuts off his ear. He is going to die for what he's just done. He is miraculously bold in the very presence of Christ, in the presence of Christ. Excuse me. When Peter is there and when Jesus is walking in the water, Peter is the one who asks. He says, hey, let me come out there. And Peter does the miraculous. Peter does the miraculous. He walks in the water. Say, he only took a few steps. He's walked in the water more than you and I have. Say amen to that. He's there. When Peter is asked, when the disciples are asked, who do men say that I am? Peter, the unlearned fisherman, who is a businessman, by the way. He's a businessman, successful businessman. He's got boats, plural. He's got fish. He's got people that work for him. His business is still running at the end there. When this goes on, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said the miraculous. Jesus ascends. The Spirit is now doing his ministry. You go to the book of Acts. What do you have? You have Peter doing the miraculous. They've got the man who was born lame, and that what happens? He rises up and walks. You got the widow. You got the people coming back from the dead. You got all these miracles. Peter is doing the miraculous. Peter's doing the miraculous. He is there, unprepared, and they bring him in. They stand him before the ruler, and what does he say? He preaches, and he says the miraculous. He says exactly the right thing. By the way, he's miraculously bold as well. We ought to obey God rather than men. To be controlled by the Spirit of God means to act just like I would if Jesus was right here. To act just like I would if Jesus is right here. So I need the Word of God to help me be controlled by the Spirit of God so that I'll act like just like that the Son of God is right here. You go to 50 churches in this area and you'll get 50 definitions of what it means to be Spirit-filled. I believe, not to their exclusion, but I believe biblically, I've described to you at the very least what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God. It is a command. And when I'm doing this, the natural result will be out of my heart, will be a joy that bubbles up, and it'll have this musical connotation to it, and I can't help but be enthused by the Spirit of God, and that part of my normal life and behavior will be that I am grateful. I'll flip it for you. If you're ungrateful, you don't have a circumstance problem, you have a control problem. A Spirit of God control problem. I'm not saying you like your circumstances. I'm simply saying that there is a heart that bubbles up and says, God, you are good, and you have been good to me, and I don't really care for what's going on, but I love you, and I know that you love me, and I'm just going to hold your hand, and we'll get through this together. That is a very different attitude than we have of our victim and our victimization, or this idea that nothing bad's ever supposed to happen. That's not in Scripture. Scripture says if you love him, you will suffer for him. We have this command here. I am to be being filled with the Spirit, and this becomes the normalcy of my life, the normalcy of my life, to give thanks, to constantly be thankful. The normal attitude of a Bible-led, Spirit-controlled person is gratitude. Let me time out. I got 3 minutes. Now that's convicting. Anybody here, if you got a grumble test or a complain test, you'd make 100? Then you'd find something wrong with it. Anybody here, you're experts. Anybody here have friends who, if you want to know what's wrong with something, you just ask them? Anybody, you got anybody like that? You know, hey, this is great. No, it's not. Oh, well, thank you. You know, don't invite those people for Thanksgiving. I'm kidding. The normal attitude of a Bible-led, Spirit-controlled person is gratitude, and it's Christ-centered. I'm done. I got 2 minutes. I'm done. Look at it. Look at the last part of the verse. He says in what? He says, giving thanks always to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 18. You see the Spirit. You see the Trinity right here. There's a direction. There's to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of these things, this is direction. I am centered in Christ. And from this radiates out everywhere and everything in our hearts and in our lives. My hope, my direction is not in my circumstances. And by the way, I have been shamed by people in a hospital bed on their way to hospice who had more joy. And I went in there to encourage them, and I left with them encouraging me because they had real clarity of life and they knew it wasn't about holding on to this, but instead it was being close to Him. And my circumstances may go up and they may go down, but I can be grateful because I am centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my circumstances. It's not my feelings. My feelings are fickle. My feelings fail me. My feelings don't always operate correctly. They just don't. Anybody else in here like that? You have a great day and you feel lousy? You ever been around surrounded by people and feel lonely? Our feelings fail us. It isn't in my feelings. It cannot be in my feelings. It must be in the person of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. People struggle with the all things there. The parallel passage in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. I think they're all complementary. I think the normalcy of life for a believer is to have an attitude of gratitude. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through this year. I probably don't. You don't know what I've been through in my life. I really probably don't. How can I do this? How can I do this? How can I have this attitude? Let me give you two things and just let you leave with them. And we're going to pray and pray for our officials. I want to encourage you to remember what you have that you don't deserve. What you have, you don't deserve. Try and buy your own air. Try and buy your own gravity. See, being silly. You let somebody get on oxygen and get that bill for 1 month. Heart going boom, 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 boom. You let it get out of rhythm. None of us in here deserve good help. My son going to bed last night, reached over and kissed me on the forehead. I got news for you. Rodney didn't deserve that. Things I am most thankful for and should be most thankful for and almost always take for granted the most are the things I do not deserve. Let me flip it. Say, how can I have an attitude of gratitude? I think, secondly, you can remember what you don't have that you do deserve. If you're in here and you've asked Christ to save you from your sins and you've put your faith totally entrusted in Him, then He has suffered your hell on your behalf. And you don't have that to look forward to anymore. And I got news for you. You do deserve that. You don't have judgment awaiting for you. You don't have a life of loneliness and life of pain. You don't have any of those things because He walks with you and He talks with you. And life has meaning now because Christ lives and He lives and He has set up His temple inside of you. Remember what you don't have that you really do deserve. We have inflated opinions of ourselves and our circumstances and who we are, and that is not reality. Reality says, man, look at all that I have I don't deserve. Look at all I have I don't deserve. I've chuckled. I've met the people up on the hill. I forget their names now. Built the storage place up there. Beautiful place. I've chuckled. I told them. I said, you know, people's junk that they don't want in their own house has got one of the best views in all of Knoxville. Nod your head if you think the preacher thinks weird, but it's the truth, isn't it? I don't have enough room for it, or I don't like it enough. I'm going to pay someone to give it a good view. And I told them they had a big open house. I said, this is, as far as storage goes, this is it. I mean, this is, you know, do you charge more for one side of the mountain or the other? They said, we should. And if you got charged more, that was my fault. And I laugh at that. Aren't we silly? We buy houses not for bedrooms. We buy houses because we want closet space, right? We look at garages not to put our cars in. We're going, I wonder how many shelves I can put in here, right? I wonder if I can suspend it from a ceiling. Aren't we silly? Aren't we silly? Remember what I have I don't deserve. Remember what I don't have that I do deserve. Look at the text. Giving thanks always, the normal attitude of our life. Say, how am I going to do this? You're going to have to do this with God's help. Because without God's help, the normal attitude of our life is to grumble and complain and to profane and love our own selves and to love what everybody else has and to boast and to be proud and to be a blasphemer, to be disobedient to parents, to be unholy, to know God and glorify Him, not God. That's the natural, normal thing. What you'll see day after Thanksgiving, everybody going crazy at the mall, that's normal. What should be normal for a believer is an attitude of gratitude. And I pray it will be. Father, help us this morning. You've been good and kind to us. You've been better to us than we deserve. And Lord, I didn't try and preach a bunch of cliches this morning. I tried to, in the middle of a very dark world, talk about what should be normal for believers. Lord, we're raising our children to want and to beg and to whine instead of work. And we're excusing our terrible behavior as adults because other people have terrible behavior. And that's not biblical. Help us to be grateful and to be thankful. If you never did anything else other than come to this world and live a sinless life and die on the cross for our sins, it's enough. And to know You is enough, and heaven is just a fringe benefit. And I pray You develop and cultivate in our hearts a spirit of gratitude. And Lord, there are some that are here who are not Christ followers, who never trusted You as their Lord and Savior. And today is a wonderful day for them to express that gratitude to You. And I pray, Father, for those that are here, maybe even struggling, today they bow the knee of their hearts and say thank You. I pray this in Your Son's name. Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. We're just going to take a moment as music begins to play and just have this time to say thank You in just a moment or two, just for us. You're here this morning. God spoke to your heart. Glenda sings. She's just going to sing one verse, give you a chance to respond. Maybe you want to come. Maybe you want to deal with God right there at your seat. Maybe you want to start this week off and you say, you know, I'm thankful. And you want to start enumerating that process. Thankful for what God's done. Thankful for friends and family. Thankful for great memories. Thankful for the Scripture, for the precious promises of God. Maybe you want to commit right now. I'm going to be here Tuesday night because I really need to work on my thankfulness. Work on my thankfulness. Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. You say, preacher, this morning, God's really spoke to my heart. He's encouraged my heart. He's convicted my heart, whatever it is, about this area of gratitude and thankfulness. And maybe you've not been completely unthankful, whatever it is, but you want to. You've heard the note. You want your life to resonate with the Scripture. Help me to be grateful, Father. Help me to be thankful. Help me not to have catastrophe or calamity in order to encourage me to be thankful for what I have and what You've done. May I do it out of a heart that is close to You. May I do it out of a heart that's in tune with the Bible. And
You say, "Preacher, this morning God's really spoke and encouraged my heart. Would you pray for me as we close out our service? Would you just slip your hand up? Nobody's looking around. Would you just pray for me? Thank you." You can put them right up, right back down. If you don't want to raise your hand, you can just look up, make eye contact. Would you remember me? Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Boy, a lot of hands. Now, Father, you know our hearts. You know our needs. And I pray that we would have this attitude of gratitude that is directed toward you and toward others. And that you would thrill our hearts with the very presence of Christ. And we are not alone. And that you love us. And that you have given us your Spirit to always be there to come alongside of us. And we can have joy that is evidenced by thanksgiving because of what you've done. I pray in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. We bow our head just for we close out of service. We do want to pray, and it's a little unusual, but how many of you think we live in different times and difficult times? How many of you think our elected officials need to be prayed for? And I want to encourage you. We did this last year. I think it'll work the same way. I'm just going to ask them to come. Is there comfortable? Come toward the front. And I want to invite all of you who want to come forward. And we're just going to come and just kind of surround them and pray for them. I'm going to ask John Tullis to lead us in prayer. If they were your prayer partner last year, you can come get with them if you're here today. And I'll invite them to stand. Andre, if you'll go up there with them there, and I'll join them down front. But come and let's just... As many of you are willing, again, we won't be called on to pray, but just come up to the front and let's pray for them this morning. Just leave your seats and come forward and let's just surround them and pray for them. And as everybody kind of gets into place, Brother Tullis, if you would, and let's pray together.